Amen, amen, amen. Thank you, bro. Everybody excited to be here today?
Yes.
Hey, I'm excited for you to be here. So, even if you're not excited, guess what? I'm excited for you. Amen. Y'all glad to be in God's house?
Yes.
There's a lot of other places we could have been. Amen. But our most important place to be is in God's house, who gives us all glory, honor, and praise and blessings for our salvation. From his son dying on the cross. Amen. Hey, so guess what?
What?
Your message, y'all getting a little break from the series thing we've been doing. But your message today is titled, Unbinding the Saints. Think about that. What did we just celebrate the other day? I think we celebrated Halloween. Right? Bunch of kids ran around in costumes. Got some candy. All right, I got a question for the adults in here in the room or one watching at home. How many of y'all stole your kids' candy?
Don't have
I better not be the only one putting my hand up. I could not be the only one in there that stole. How about y'all at home? Who stole your kids' candy or grandkids' candy? Whoever's candy, you buy that in the house. Hey, I don't know about y'all, but like when I was growing up, Halloween was kind of crazy in the house because you had more than one kid. If you had one kid, the kid was great. They were set, right? Because they got all the candy. But if you had multiple kids, what did we do? Y'all remember? We would come home, dump the bags out on the floor. Back then, you didn't have to worry about checking up for razor blades or needles or anything like that, or oxy or fentanyl, right? We pile, they ate pile. We didn't really like it that well individually, but they pile all the candy into one pile. And then however many kids they were, whether you got more candy than your brother or sister, right? They split. Everybody got the same amount of candy. Nowadays, I don't know about y'all, but Easton and Weston guarded their candy bags. You cannot get to the candy bag. And do you think them two are going to share? Please. There ain't no way in the world. If we piled them in the middle of the floor, they'd be kicking, each one of them would be kicking and slapping the candy all over the kitchen. And y'all know I'm right. I love my grandkids, but they can't get out of hand at times. Amen? But that's a good memory from us, or from our childhood. Of the Halloween that we celebrate. But guess what? What we should be celebrating truly is kind of tied into Halloween a little bit, but it's called All Saints Sunday. And that's what today is All Saints Sunday, hence the title of the message being Unbinding the Saints. How many of y'all are glad that we got saints that went on before us that we can unbind when we need it, when we need some issues going on? Amen. Hey, your main scripture is going to come from the book, let me get over there, of John chapter 11, verse 32 through 44. John 11, 32 through 44. NIV version says this, and then we'll get into our first scripture. The first scripture is going to come from Revelation, so I know y'all are excited about that, especially Matt. Amen. But John, again, 11, 32 through 44, NIV version says it this way. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, Lord, if you had been there or been here, my brother would not have died. When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. Where have you laid him? He asked. Come and see, Lord, they replied. And then the shortest verse in the Bible, Jesus wept. Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, see how he loved him. But some of them said, could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying? Verse 38 says, Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. Take away the stone, he said. But Lord, said Martha, the sister of the dead man. Y'all remember this scripture, right?
Yeah.
By this time, what happened? There's a bad odor Lazarus is funky at that point. There's a bad odor for him. He's been dead for 4 days. And then Jesus said, "Did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God?" So they took the stone away. And Jesus looked up and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me. But I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they might believe, or may believe, that you sent me." When he said that, Jesus called in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." The dead man came walking out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth about it around his face. And Jesus said to him, "Take off the grave clothes and let him go." Take off the grave clothes and let him go. Ooh, I don't know about you, but I'm glad that I got a Jesus that still raises us from the grave. Amen. I'm glad we could be modern day Lazarus today. Amen. All right. So, your first scripture, I'm going to go ahead and read it real fast. It comes from Revelation 21, 1 through 6. Book of Revelation 21, 1 through 6. Also, the NIV version says this. "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. As I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and He will dwell with them. They will be His people, and God Himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain. For the old order of things has passed away.' He who is seated on the throne said, 'I am making everything new.' Then he said, 'Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true.' And he said to me, 'It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, and the end, and the beginning and the end. To the thirsty, I will give water without cost from the spring of the water of life.'" Amen. Let's go ahead and pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, as always, I ask you right now, Lord, get Ronnie out of the way today, Lord, and allow your Holy Spirit to speak through me, Jesus. Lord, may it always be your word spoken and not mine, Lord. Lord, may you open our heart, mind, and soul, Lord, to the blessing and the message that you have for us today, Lord. Lord, may we get a little bit closer to you today, Lord. May we get a new understanding, Lord, for the future that we have waiting for us in heaven, Lord. Lord, we ask you to be with us for the rest of the service. In your name I pray. Amen. So today, on All Saints Sunday, we gather to honor the saints who have gone before us, and to remind ourselves of the hope that we hold on to as believers. Our first passage from Revelation 21 offers a vision that feels especially profound in light of this occasion. In John's revelation, we glimpse a promise of the new heaven and the new earth, a place where God dwells among His people, where sorrow and death are no more. For those of us mourning loved ones, striving in a broken world and longing for healing, this is a vision of deep joy and a vision of hope and happiness. Amen. We have the promise of that new creation. John begins with, "Then I saw the new heaven and the new earth. The old heaven and the earth have passed away, along with all the grief and the struggle tied to them." God's new creation is not an abandonment of this world, but it's a fulfillment of His original plan, a restoration of all things made pure and new. On All Saints Sunday reminds us that His promise is not just a future hope, but it is a present reality in the lives of those who have gone on before us. They rest now in God's presence, already experiencing the peace that we are promised. Amen. We also see God's dwelling place among us. John then described that holy city, the new Jerusalem, descending down from heaven. See, the home of God is among mortals. He will dwell with them. And that is truly the heart of our hope, isn't it? God does not remain distant, but comes to dwell with each one of us, as He did in Jesus Christ. His presence transforms the city, making it holy and perfect, a place where justice and love and mercy abound. The saints that we remember today lived in that same hope that we do now, knowing that God's dwelling place was with them here and now. In times of trial, in times of pain and loss, they experienced God's nearness and they walked with Him by faith. Their lives show us that His holy dwelling is not just a place, is it? But it's a relationship. And that's a relationship with a God who is close to the brokenhearted and near to all who call on Him. He will wipe all of our tears away. One of the most beautiful promises in this passage is that God Himself will wipe every tear from our eyes. He promises to be present in a personal and tender way, don't He? Meeting us in our pain and bringing us peace. This is a God who sees each tear, who deeply cares for each sorrow that we have. For those mourning loved ones who are struggling with life's burdens, this assurance gives us is life-giving. Our losses are real, aren't they? But they are not the end. They're real, but they are not the end. Just as God has gathered the saints into His eternal presence, He promises us a day when sorrow, pain, and even death will be no more. And we can walk in all things new. He says, "See, I am making all things new." This statement is not only about the future, but the work of God that God is doing right now. Through Christ, He is continually at work in each one of our lives to renew our lives, to transform our hearts, and to build His kingdom. Our saints were not perfect, were they? Yet God transformed them and used them to bless and inspire us. God does the same thing with each one of us, because I promise you that I'm not perfect, are you? But He invites us to share in His work of renewal each and every day that we're here. Amen. We honor the saints today for their faith. Or not only for their faith. Let me restate that. We honor the saints today not only for their faith, but for their witness to this promise. They remind us that we too are part of that renewal. We're called to love and to serve and to hope in the One who makes all things new. God declares, "I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end." Our lives, and indeed all of creation, are held within God's eternal embrace. From the saints who have gone on before us to each one of us here present today, God is with us every step of the way, isn't He? From the first breath, or our first breath, to our last breath, His presence, His love, His grace, they are always constant with us. Amen. So today, as we remember those saints and lift our hearts to God's promises, may we be comforted and renewed. May we live as they did, with the hope that is strong and steadfast, a faith that carries us forward, and a love that reflects on the One who dwells within each one of us, and will one day make all things new for us. In John chapter 11, we encounter one of the most profound displays of Jesus' power, don't we? And His compassion in His ministry. And that was the raising of Lazarus from the dead. This passage offers us deeply moving pictures of Jesus, don't it? And His response to grief. His authority over death and his love for his people. Through this event, Jesus reveals himself as the resurrection and the life, giving hope to all of us who believe in him today. We're going to explore three main themes from this: Jesus' compassion, his power over death, and his importance of faith. The first, in verse 32-36, when Mary reaches Jesus, she falls at his feet, don't she? She's overcome with sorrow. Her words are poignant, aren't they? Lord, if you had been here, how many times have we ever said that? If you'd just been here, this wouldn't have happened. Amen. Lord, if you'd have been here, my brother would not have died. Her grief is palpable. And Jesus does not diminish it, does it? He is simply moved, even to the point of just weeping. Just weeping. Jesus cares deeply about our pain. The passage here shows us that our God is not distant. Jesus sees our sorrow and he feels it, just like he did back then. His tears are a reminder that God cares about our suffering, and he meets us where our pain is. He also gives some empathy and compassion. Like Jesus, we're all called to be present for others in pain. Our compassion is one of the ways that God brings comfort to a hurting world around us. Verses 38 through 44, we see his power over death. After weeping, Jesus approaches the tomb, didn't he? Well, Lazarus was buried for how long? 4 days, right? And at the time significant because it signifies the decay had set in. Jesus prays to the Father and then commands, Lazarus, Lazarus, come out. And what happened? Nothing. It wasn't nothing, did it? But miraculously, Lazarus rises from the dead, still bound in those grave clothes that they had him wrapped up in, right? This does truly show the authority of our Jesus, don't it? In his word. Jesus commands, or command brings life where there was death. Just as God spoke life into existence in Genesis, Jesus' word brings Lazarus back to life from the grave. In our lives, his word has the power to bring life to any dead situation we're dealing with. And we have to realize that death is truly not the end. Amen. Jesus' miracle is a foretaste of the final resurrection and a reminder that through him, death does not have to be the last word. Amen. We have a Savior that defeated death and gives us hope for eternal life. In verse 40, John reminds Martha, did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God? Jesus invites her to just trust in his power, even in the face of hopelessness. How many of you ever been there? How many ever felt hopeless? Guess what? We got a God. We got a Jesus that has the power to get us out of that. Amen. Martha's initial response shows the struggle that many of us face today when life doesn't go as expected. Jesus calls her and us to believe that even in the darkness that we have, his glory will be revealed. Amen. Mary and Martha both believed that Jesus could heal their brother, but they struggled to trust his timing. Our faith is tested in life's delays. Yet God's timing is perfect, isn't it? Ours isn't, but God is. God's is. Working in ways that we will never and may not understand. Sometimes God allows difficult situations in our lives to reveal his glory in ways that we cannot anticipate. Our role is just trusting. Just believing that he will act for his glory and our good. Amen. This is more than just a miracle story. It's a glimpse into the heart of God. Jesus cares about each one of our pain. He holds power over our death. And he calls us to believe in him. Just as Lazarus will call from the tomb, we too and invite him to rise into a new life through faith in Christ. Let us place our trust in the one who keeps us and weeps with us, who commands us life to come forth, and who offers eternal hope from the grave. We have to trust that he sees our pain and is with us in every moment of our sorrow. Know that through him, death has been conquered and the eternal and life eternal awaits for us. We have to trust in Jesus' timing to be expectant of how he will reveal his glory, even in the midst of our life struggles and hardships. Amen. Because he will meet us in our grief. When he arrived at Lazarus' tomb, what did he find? He found Mary and the others weeping. And again, moved deeply, he wept himself. God is weeping for each one of us today. Amen. In our moments that we're struggling through right now, he is weeping for us. That moment reveals the true heart of Jesus, don't it? Who meets us in our grief. Where we see here that our pain does not go unnoticed by God. Our grief, our loss, and our mourning are met with his compassion. Today, many of us might feel the weight of loss as we remember loved ones. But Jesus, who is deeply moved by Mary's sorrow, is also moved by ours today. This story reminds us that in our suffering, we do not grieve alone. Amen. The saints who have gone on before us, who now experience the fullness of Christ, or in Christ, remind us that death is not the end point. It is, in fact, the beginning of an eternal joy and peace in God's presence. Today, again, as we honor those saints, we're called to remember their legacy of faith. They trusted in the power of the resurrection, and they lived with hope, with courage, and conviction because of it. Jesus' words to Martha and Mary are also his words to each one of us. If you believe, we will see the glory of God. Not just in the future, amen, but here and now. We have to be unbound here on this earth, like Lazarus was. After Jesus called him forth, he instructs those around him to unbind him and let him go. Lazarus is alive, isn't he? But he's still bound by those grave clothes. People were called to help him walk fully into his new life. This act of unbinding speaks to our role in each one of us in the church and the followers of Christ. We are called not only to embrace our new lives, but also to help others live into it. On All Saints Sunday, we remember that we too are called to participate in this ministry of unbinding. The saints who have come before us act as examples, as mentors, as guides, helping to free others from what kept them bound, be it fear, be it sin, be it hopelessness. Amen. How can we live in our communities and help to unbind one another? Perhaps we can offer encouragement, forgiving somebody who's hurt us, or serving the vulnerable among us. As Jesus called Lazarus out of the tomb, he calls each one of us into a life of freedom and fullness. And his calling is our calling to carry on the work of the saints by helping others embrace that life too. The ones that went before us. Amen. So on this All Saints Sunday, we're invited to remember and honor these who have gone before us. Those who have lived lives of faith, of hope, and love. They're the testimony to the power of the resurrection and the promise of the new life that we have in Christ. We honor them by carrying forward their legacy of faith, letting God unbind us from fear, unbind us from doubt, unbind us from despair, and helping others to walk into the fullness into the life that Jesus offers us. As we come for the final song, let's pray. Jesus' words to Lazarus come out, echo in our lives today, inviting us to live fully in the power of the resurrection. May we, inspired by the saints and empowered by the Spirit, step boldly into that life, combining each one of ourselves and others as we walk together in the light and the love of Christ. Through this story, Jesus calls each one of us from death to life, inviting us to live fully for Him, now and forever. As we go throughout the week, Lord, I ask that You put somebody in front of us, Lord, that we can truly tell about Your miraculous love, Lord. Lord, that we can fully tell about how they can be unbound like Lazarus was, Lord. Lord, to truly live a happy and fulfilled life, Lord. Lord, with that knowledge that new creation, Lord, that they've come to be, Lord, is going to be there when that new world comes down, Lord. Lord, that we will be spending eternity, Lord. Lord, that no matter what Satan might be telling them right now, Lord, Lord, let them see how much it truly is a lie, Lord. Lord, that we might want more than what we have right now, Lord. Lord, we might want to love somebody a little bit closer, Lord. Lord, we thank You for each and everything that You do, Lord. I ask You to bring back our next appointed time. In Your name I pray. Everybody say it.